And this is West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:33. A report just released by the American Lung Association shows air pollution in West Virginia's metropolitan areas has generally improved. But as Glynis Board reports, there's more ozone or smog in every county where it was measured.
The American Lung Association released a report today called State of the Air 2014. Kevin Stewart is the American Lung Association's Director of Environmental Health for the Mid-Atlantic Region. He explains that particle pollution, sometimes called soot pollution, is the matter in the air expelled from sources like exhaust pipes or industrial plants. It's the fine microscopic dust, sometimes small enough to pass directly into bloodstreams through the lungs.
The reason we're concerned about fine particle pollution is because it helps to increase the risk of cardiovascular problems. So people who have heart disease, they're more likely to suffer problems with angina, chest pain, and also even to experience heart attack or even death as a result of breathing this stuff. So most people don't think about air pollution as causing heart problems, but it does.
The Lung Association's 2014 report indicates that the overall ambient air quality regarding particle pollution throughout the state is improving, or at least throughout every county where it's being measured. Short-term or daily particle pollution improved in at least one county, Brook, but mostly remain unchanged from what was reported last year, which were overall pretty good results. But then there's ozone. Stewart says way up in the sky, ozone is a good thing. It protects us from harmful rays from the sun.
Down here at ground level, you don't want to be breathing this stuff because ozone is a very powerful respiratory irritant and can cause people to have things like asthma attacks and problems breathing and going to the hospital emergency room.
The report indicates that ozone levels have pretty much gotten worse throughout the country. That's true in West Virginia and especially in the Charleston-Huntington area, which ranked worst in the state. The Lung Association gave Kanawha County a D last year. This year's report combines Kanawha and Cabell counties with several other areas and gives that region an F. Other counties reporting worse ozone pollution include Wood, Monongalia, and Hancock. The American Lung Association says the worsening ozone levels can likely be attributed to the exceptionally warm 2012 temperatures, reflecting national trends. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection echoes the Lung Association's report, saying air quality has and continues to improve throughout West Virginia, even in areas like the northern gas fields, despite increased drilling activity. The DEP reports, however, there are issues with sulfur dioxide in Brook and Marshall counties related to large industrial sources like power plants that are located there. In fact, the Lung Association's report indicates that Marshall County was worst in the state for its long-term particle pollution levels. That's despite the fact that the Wheeling, West Virginia, Ohio metro area had its lowest year-round particle pollution levels in the past 15 years. Although, it should be noted, the area is still ranked 19th worst in the nation. So, it's a mixed bag. There are a lot of numbers that are somehow both reassuring and terrifying. But Stewart, from the American Lung Association, says there are several things to remember when considering this data. First of all, the system we have needs to be improved. Many counties with lower populations don't require air monitoring at all, for example. Boone, McDowell, Mingo, and Wyoming, just to name a few. And in many areas where air quality is monitored, the actual monitoring might not take place in the most telling spots. And he says there are limits to the monitoring technology.
The science is showing that the air pollution standards are, even though we use them for this report, they're inadequate to protect public health. People already, even if you meet the air quality standard but you're just below the level, you can still have adverse health effects from air pollution. And we, Lung Association, believes that we need to improve the air quality standards so that we don't have that kind of scenario going on.
Stewart says no one will deny that the country today is not the same country it was 40 years ago. Standards have certainly improved, but he asserts that current circumscribed standards of air quality still leave the public footing many hidden health and standard of living costs. Now, are they balanced by the economic benefits of industry throughout the region? Well, that's another study altogether. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Public Radio. It's 7:38. There's a flash flood watch in effect for eastern and western portions of the state. Showers and thunderstorms today, highs in the 60s. Some storms could produce heavy rains and gusty winds. Overnight lows will be in the 40s and 50s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, highs in the 60s and 70s. And for Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, highs in the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the Affiliated Construction Trades, committed to drug and alcohol-free workplaces in West Virginia for more than 20 years. Details at actwv.org.
Today, we continue our series on how to keep young people in West Virginia. Yesterday, we looked at the struggle many people go through to find work in the state in their chosen fields. Today, we examine the stereotypes young West Virginians who choose to stay in the state face from those on the outside. Beneduccio reports.
With the state expected to lose nearly 20,000 people over the next 15 years, many are trying to figure out how to entice young people to stay in West Virginia in the hopes of reversing that trend. Some young people want to stay, others don't, for many reasons, like finding work. But many young people agree there's a perception amongst young West Virginians that people have to leave, not just to find work, but to simply succeed.
My name is Logan Spears. I'm 25 years old. I work at the Dancing Fig on High Street in Morgantown.
Spears says in his group of friends there's a bias against those that stay in West Virginia, primarily because of compensation.
Most of the people that stay in the state are kind of looked down upon by the others as, oh, well, I guess you didn't like get as good of a job as we did. I think one of the big things is just the pay that you get from it. And it kind of goes on price of living, cost of living. And in West Virginia, it's, you know, not as high of a cost of living, which is an upside, you know, which is a good thing that it's not as expensive to live comfortably. But at the same time, you know, to make $30,000 here as a single 25-year-old, that would be a very solid annual salary. But if you were to move, you know, elsewhere and work the same job, you could be looking at making double or triple that for doing the exact same thing just because you're in a bigger city. However, that cost of living, you know, means that you're going to be paying double or triple just to be living there too.
But it's not just about money. It's also about attitude.
I'm Jocelyn Crawford, and I'm a native of Charleston, grew up here. I'm a teacher at Nitro High School. I teach science.
And my name is Matthew Crawford. I'm from Bell, originally, now I live in Charleston.
It seems to be that people who were born and raised in West Virginia, if you choose to stick around, then people who have left to go other places to go to school or find work, they've sort of made it, and you have not, even though, you know, you may be doing, like, great things with your life. Like, I, you know, went to WVU, and, you know, I have my master's degree, and I have a great job, but people who, you know, maybe not, you know, maybe still be in school or may have a job maybe that they don't necessarily isn't their dream job, if they've left, they're considered sort of more of like a success story. Do you get that too, Matt?
Yeah, I kind of get that sense. It seems like a lot of the people that we know who have gone to school and are still in West Virginia or going to school now are looking to leave when they get done, or they think that they're stuck in a rut because they're still here and they're trying to find a way to get out of West Virginia, even if they have a good job or they're successful in other ways.
Right. It's almost like you have to not apologize, but you have to explain why. Like, there's a reason why you chose to stick around.
The Crawfords, who have been married since July of 2012, believe national media coverage of West Virginia, which tends to be negative, plays a role.
Yeah. Whenever there's a study out and it has West Virginia at the bottom of something good or the top of something bad, you know, people talk about it a lot, and it seems like it's almost been ingrained in people our age that, you know, that we're the fattest state or we're the dumbest state or all this stuff. And it's, you can't succeed if you're here. If you're still here, then it's because you're stuck, because you can't get out. You can't go anywhere else.
The Crawfords aren't buying that assessment. And they're not alone.
My name is Mike Jones. I currently live in Charleston, West Virginia, and I manage a small electric motor company in Montgomery.
Jones was raised on a tobacco farm in Virginia. He moved to West Virginia for college, met the woman who would become his wife, and decided to stay. He says anyone can find something fun to do in West Virginia, and he says it's the true mountainous beauty of the state that keeps people here.
I had never been rock climbing before until I went to New River Gorge. Just several experiences that I wouldn't have been able to have had in other parts of the country. If people look up from their screens, they will realize that there's plenty going on around them and not everything is going on away from them. Right now, there seems to be an addiction to cell phone or tablet or just some form of screen directly in front of you. And I've experienced several people that just will not be in the moment. They wherever they are, they'd rather be somewhere else. And that's just, if that attitude doesn't change, then they're not going to experience happiness.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
Tomorrow morning in part three of our series, we'll look at the solutions young people are presenting to try to stop outward migration from West Virginia. Berkeley Springs is generally known as a Spallan arts town, but right now quilts are the primary form of art on display. As Cecilia Mason reports, the quilts are part of a fundraiser to benefit a local charity.
This is Fancy Cat by Elaine Bell.
Fancy Cat will hang out at Berkeley Springs Books.
Fancy Cat is one of the squares on display throughout Berkeley Springs for the annual Delectable Mountains Quilt Guild's Yard Square Quilt Auction. During a bi-monthly meeting at a local church hall before the squares went on display, guild members showed off their creations during a parade of quilts, holding each one up for all to see.
Called Summer Star, the middle section was made by Karen Hayes, put together by Susanna Kipp with the surrounding.
Summer Star will hang at Terry's Cafe.
Karen Hayes is the Guild's president.
They're 36 inches square, and they're beautiful. We have 40 of them available this year, and they will be auctioned off, and the proceeds will go to a charity that we all voted on.
This is the 10th year the Guild has sponsored the auction. In recent years, the proceeds have gone to charities like the Morgan Arts Council, the Morgan County Public Library, and the Humane Society. This year's recipient will be the Morgan County Observatory Foundation, which supports an observatory located next to a local elementary school.
We have a wonderful telescope that was given to the county, but we had to build the building to keep it in, and the foundation also takes care of all the tours and opening it for tours and for people. And of course, they're always at night, and with our money, they'll be able to have more star parties. They've cut down to one a month. They'll be able to go back to two, and also they have camps in the summer about astronomy, and also they are into rockets and things like that.
Hayes says the Quilt Guild members design their own squares, although they're often tailored toward the charity that is chosen for the year.
So you notice several of them had stars in them this year. But otherwise, it's whatever they want to give. It's their donation, and they provide all the materials and everything, and just give it to be auctioned for the charity.
The quilt squares will be sold at auction on Sunday, May 25th at 2 in the afternoon at the Ice House. Several of the squares are also being auctioned online. Member Jane Frankie says offering them online should increase participation.
We will have more people involved that way because his online presence is 600,000 people. So we've selected the six quilts, and the quilters said that they would like to be the online people as an experiment to try it out.
In addition to the squares hanging in shop windows throughout Berkeley Springs, the Guild is also curating a show at the Ice House called Home is Where the Heart Is. It includes nearly 60 full-size quilts made by members, as well as smaller items like wall hangings, coasters, table runners, and pot holders. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Berkeley Springs.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast while you're there. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Dave Mistich.